Welcome to Echo Church. I know that's a weird question. We actually have one of our members. I won't expose him. I don't think he's here. But he had braces not once, not twice, but three times. Okay? So if you know who I'm talking about, just remind him to wear his retainers. Okay? Well, welcome again to Echo Church. My name is Heidi. I'm one of the staff members here. We are actually having a membership ceremony right after the sermon. So we welcome you to stay, stick around, and see how we do our membership process. So with that, I'm so excited to give you the word. Let's just dive right into it. Let's pray and let's go. Holy and anointed God, Lord, we come today, and Lord, you know us through and through. You know when we rise and when we fall. You know the burdens that we carry, the season that we're in. And so, Lord, we just come before you, Lord, humble, curious, vulnerable, open before you, God. And we give you permission, Lord, to mess with us today. Lord, make us like clay in your hands. Would you form us more and more to the likeness of your Son? So we lift our gaze to you, God. And Lord, would the words of my mouth and the meditation of my words be pleasing to you, God? Amen. Amen. So let's get right into it. Let's read the word together. It comes from Galatians 2. If we don't have it there, I'll read it from here. All right. Later, when Peter came to Antioch, I had a face-to-face confrontation with him because he was clearly out of line. Here's the situation. Earlier, before certain persons had come from James, Peter regularly ate with the non-Jews. But when that conservative group came from Jerusalem, he cautiously pulled back and put as much distance as he could manage between himself and his non-Jewish friends. That's how fearful he was of the conservative Jewish clique that's been pushing the old system of circumcision. But when I saw that they were not maintaining a steady, straight course according to the message or the gospel, I spoke up to Peter in front of them all. He's so intense, right? He says, "We Jews know that we have no advantage of birth over non-Jewish sinners. We know very well that we are not set right with God by rule-keeping, but only through personal faith in Jesus Christ. How do we know? We tried it, and we had the best system of rules this world has ever seen. Convinced that no human being can please God by self-improvement, we believed in Jesus as the Messiah so that we might be set right before God. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion, and I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not going back on that. Is it not clear to you to go back to that old, rule-keeping, peer-pleasing religion would be an abandonment of everything personal and free in my relationship with God? If a living relationship with God could come by rule-keeping, then Christ died unnecessarily. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." So when I read passages like this, there's two reactions that come up. One is like a, right? That one passage, it says, "I'm no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Can you guys just take a deep breath? Isn't that good? Isn't that the gospel in a nutshell? But then I'm curious, because what the heck happened in that first part, right? There's this confrontation between Paul and Peter. And you're thinking, Peter, that name sounds familiar, right? You're like, surely not Peter. Surely not that one Peter. It is that Peter, one of the 12 disciples, the one who tried to walk on water, Peter, with Jesus. The one who denied Jesus three times but saw the living, resurrected Christ with his own eyeballs and became a preacher of the gospel, Peter. Keys to heaven, pillar of the church, Peter. It is to this Peter that Paul is confronting and saying, I had a face-to-face confrontation with him because he was clearly out of line. Ouch, right? Paul is telling Peter that he was not maintaining a steady, straight, or ortho course with the gospel. Ortho meaning straight, like orthopedic, the aligning of our bones, or orthodontist, the straightening of our teeth, or the word we use for orthopraxis, which is the introduction to discipleship training here at Echo. Paul is calling Peter a hypocrite, peer-pleasing, fearful. Paul is not mincing his words to Peter. Now, if you're like me, there's a little bit like fear bubbling up, right? You're like, ah, how could he, like, what did he do wrong? It doesn't sound like that bad, right? You read this and you're like, the gospel kind of sounds a little rigid, inflexible. And as I was reading this, I was like, oh my gosh, like, am I a hypocrite? Am I doing something wrong? Is this right? Is this wrong? Does anyone else feel this way? Sometimes as an everyday Christ follower, we're like, is living the gospel like balancing on a tightrope? So, what's the big deal? I'm such a sucker for context. So what's the big deal? What did Peter do that was so far off from the gospel that he had to be publicly confronted by Paul? So a little backstory. Paul is writing to the early Christians in Galatia. And now, before Jesus, we know that there are the Jews and the non-Jews, or the Gentiles, right? And the Jews believed themselves to be a little bit superior. They're the people of God. They had laws and regulations that set them apart, made them distinct and holy. So there was a dividing line between Jew and non-Jew. But not only was there a dividing line between peoples, there was that dividing line between us and God. Only the holy, holy, holiest of people could enter into God's presence. But through Christ's life, death, and resurrection, all of us, Jew and non-Jew, are invited to come freely into the presence of God. You know, that beautiful verse in the image of the veil of the Holy of Holies being ripped from top to bottom. And the gospel of Christ is now radically inclusive, including Jew, non-Jew, slave, free, male, female, all of whom are equally invited and equally accepted by God. This is the good news, is it not? And Paul mentions this in our passage. He says, we know very well that we are not set right with God by rule keeping, but only through personal faith in Jesus Christ. How do we know? We tried it. We had the best system of rules this world has ever seen. So, even though the early Christians, the Jewish Christians, knew that it wasn't by the rules and the regulations that made us justified before Christ, they still had deeply baked in rules and regulations on our relationship around food and food handling. So the rituals and belief systems were deeply entrenched in the Jewish cultural identity. There were stringent laws and observances around food and eating that were tied to their cultural heritage. So for example, there were strict dietary laws that prohibited one from eating certain unclean foods. There were requirements for butchering and slaughtering animals. There were certain ways of handling foods or produce, and certain things couldn't be eaten together. Now, as you're listening to this, I want you guys to imagine, have you ever known someone who's been on the keto diet? Yes, right? A couple years ago, my husband went on the keto diet, and you cannot mix diets. You have to make two separate diets, because if you do keto and you have literal one morsel of carbs, that's just the literal opposite of a diet. It's a high-fat diet. And then when we go to Ecclesia, you might know someone who might have a dietary restriction who's vegetarian or gluten intolerant. It's not that it's, you know, hard, but you have to take more intention to care and make sure people feel included and accepted at Ecclesia. So for the Jews and the Gentiles, to eat together and fellowship together actually held a lot of nuance and some complications. Because not only were there differences in the way they were supposed to eat, there were these kind of nuances in cleanliness and holiness that were deeply embedded in their cultural identity. So for Peter to sit and eat with non-Jews, with the Gentiles, was testimony of the gospel truth in and of itself, that it is by Christ's blood and sacrifice alone that justifies us before God, and it is that God who invites us to the table. In Acts 10, if you guys remember that kind of strange vision of the tablecloth descending from heaven with all the foods on it, that's when Peter realizes, he says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. So Peter is tangibly showing the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians that they are active and equal participants in God's story by physically fellowshipping and eating with them. So Peter started off really great. He started off displaying this gospel truth. But when more conservative Jewish Christians came, he started to withdraw from eating. And scripture says it kind of started slowly. He just was like, oh no, I'm okay, I already ate, or, you know, he just stopped eating. And then slowly over time, he actually started to withdraw completely from going to the non-Jewish homes and only going to the Jewish Christian homes. Now, we know that Peter didn't actually believe that the Jewish Christians were superior or that the non-Jews were unclean or unworthy of table fellowship. Scholars suggest that he just wanted to avoid the issue before or until the more conservative Christians left. Homeboy didn't want to deal with it. Homeboy felt peer pressured. He withdrew and avoided the issue, perhaps not realizing the repercussions that his absence would cause. When I tell you that I got convicted reading that, I was like, oh. You know, sometimes you do that. You're like, I just don't want to deal with it. I just want to, you know what, let's just make that pass. I'll just withdraw until it passes. I'm just going to stop showing up fully. Nobody's going to notice. It's no big deal. But did you know that your presence matters? It actually matters in your home, in your workplaces, in this church. Christ has taken residence in us. This is what we believe. And when we withdraw our presence and our friendship, we are not allowing Christ to live into the people and the places that he has rooted us to be. Amen? So Peter, in his avoidance from the table with the Gentiles, he stops living into his convictions. His lack of presence, his ghosting, his withdrawal showed this dehumanizing belief that the Gentiles were not fully accepted as the people of God, rendering the gospel of Christ meaningless. This is why Paul has some fighting words. This is why he reiterates publicly so that the Gentile Christians know, no, you are fully accepted by God. And he says here, is it not clear to you to go back to that old rule-keeping, peer-pleasing religion would be an abandonment of everything personal and free in my relationship with God? If a living relationship with God could come by rule-keeping, then Christ died unnecessarily. So in Peter's avoidance, he defaulted to the old legalistic religious way of living and actually injured and rejected members of the body of Christ. Did you know that the world needs Christ's followers to show up with radical inclusivity because we ourselves have been given unmerited grace? We are called to pull up a chair and invite others to come and eat, to open our tables and homes to everyone, regardless of cultural identity, sexual orientation, political belief, race. All are invited to the table of God to fellowship with Christ and his people. Amen? Is this not what Jesus did? He ate with the very people the church rejected. So who are the prostitutes? Who are the tax collectors in our world? Who have we avoided, withdrew from, excluded? The gospel of Christ casts a vision, a radical vision, in which every single human being, regardless of where they have come from or who they are invited to fellowship with God. Isn't grace outrageous and kind of scandalous? If you don't, you know, I think you and I, we need to remember what grace is, right? Before we can go and do this, we need to be reminded daily. You and I, we didn't deserve grace. You might be thinking, I'm a pretty good person. You might be thinking like the Jews, you know, I've lived a pretty good life. I deserve this. We didn't. And we need a wake-up call from the Holy Spirit to remind us again and again that his grace was unmerited, but we have a good God who gave it regardless. Amen. So you and me, we're also like Peter. We can fall out of line with the gospel of Christ. We are fearful, we avoid, we withdraw. It is so easy to default into old patterns of thinking, to become rigid and inflexible. But Martin Luther wrote this beautiful response to Peter's mistake. Let's read it together. For it is a great comfort for us to hear that even such saints sin, Samson, David, and many other celebrated men who were full of the Holy Spirit fell into huge sins. Job and Jeremiah curse the day of their birth. Elijah and Jonah grow tired of life and pray for death. Such errors and sins of the saints are set forth in order that those who are troubled and desperate may find comfort, and that those who are proud may be afraid. No man has ever fallen so grievously that he could not have stood up again. On the other hand, no one has ever had such sure footing that he cannot fall. If Peter fell, I too may fall. If he stood up again, so can I. Amen. Doesn't that bring you so much comfort? I have gotten so many things wrong. I've had my theology, my formation, deconstructed and reconstructed again. And over the years, I have realized that I don't believe certain things that I used to believe in the past. But I find comfort, and you should too, that God is not surprised or disappointed when we get it wrong. We have people like Paul to lovingly correct us and maybe even sometimes intensely correct us to bring us back in line with the gospel of Christ, to remind us again this weighty, scandalous, outrageous concept of grace. So what can we do? What if we get it wrong? What if it does feel kind of like a tightrope? So I wanted to actually change this language. And what if instead of a tightrope, what if it's actually a table? What if making mistakes is expected? And what if it's coming back again and again to the table of Christ from which we have wandered? A table in which Jesus invites us and there's always room and there's always extra food. And there's always room for people who are different from us. So the questions we can ask ourselves today are, have I, like Peter, withdrawn from the table? Have I forgotten what it's like to receive grace and extend friendship to others who are different from us? Who are the Pauls in our lives who can lovingly confront us and bring us back in line with the gospel? And as a church, living with Christ-shaped conviction, it takes sacrifice and it takes risk. When we look around our table here at Echo, who is not here? Who can we call over to join us in radical fellowship? And I just want to make a personal note here. If you've ever been excluded or rejected by the church, I'm so sorry. Please forgive us for not living into the conviction of the gospel of Christ. So as we close today, as I was preparing this word, I was reminded of this iconic image by Mr. Rogers. So you guys might have seen this before, but to give you context, by the end of the 1960s here in America, racial segregation was no longer the law of the land. But Black Americans were still not embraced as equal members of the public. And this was seen in community pools all around the U.S., where white people still prevented black people from sharing the water with them. And many white Americans balked at this idea of an unsegregated pool due to this racist belief that black Americans were more likely to transmit disease. It is in this climate that Mr. Rogers, on his show, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, invites Officer Clemens to come and cool his feet in a small wading pool. And at first, Officer Clemens declines, saying, "Oh, I don't even have a towel, it's okay." But Mr. Rogers says, "Come, come sit with me. You can share my towel." What doesn't seem like much is actually a radical stance to embrace the humanity and the equality of our black brothers and sisters. What a beautiful image of the gospel being played out. What would it look like if we did this? What if we said to those who are different, historically excluded from the church, on the outside looking in, "Come, you can sit with me. Come join." Today, 9 people are becoming members to this local body of Christ, and they are joining us here, not just to fellowship, but to help us now set the table for others, to prepare the meal, to prepare the space, and to call others to taste and see that the Lord is good, and to receive God's ridiculous and outrageous grace. So I'm about to invite Pastor Jeanette up to lead us in the membership ceremony, but let's just pray and close this time really fast. Would you pray with me? Lord, right now, would your Holy Spirit remind us again your grace? How good you are to give us this undeserved grace that allows us to come forth and to fellowship with you and your people. So, Lord, would you anoint your church right now? Lord, would you bring to mind people in their own lives who've been excluded from the church, who might have a bitter taste in their mouth? And would you help them, give them strength, give them courage, God, to call them in and say, "Come, you can sit with us. Come, you can join us," because it's not by our works, it's not by the laws and regulations and rituals of cleanliness, but it is by Christ and Christ alone that has brought us near. So come, you can join us. You can have friendship and fellowship with God. Anoint your body today, God. Unite your bride and move mightily in your people, God. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for this time. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Church, I bless you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go out knowing that you belong to Christ and Christ's body. Church, let's share towels and let's share tables. Let's scooch over. Let's make room. Let's squeeze in. Let's be in the business. Let's be in the business of being a radically inclusive community as God has included us in his church and his people. So in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a round of applause.